You see, the word and the Lord's Supper, praise God, it's a prophetical word. Praise God, it shows what's going to happen as well as it shows what has already taken place. And when we, praise God, proclaim Jesus' death, we are looking at what he had already done. Somebody say, what has he done? Praise God, they whipped him all night long. They led him up a hill called Calvary. My God, they stretched him out wide. They drove nails through his hand. They drove a spike through his feet. Somebody pierced him in the side. He stayed there on that cross. Praise God, until the S-U-N refused to shine upon the S-O-N. And they took him down off of that cross, put him in a borrowed grave. He stayed there 3 days and 3 nights. But early one Sunday morning, that same Jesus, he got up with all power in his hand. You see, that was the historical purpose. But let's look at the prophetic purpose of what's going to take place. That same Jesus, he said, I want you to proclaim his death till he comes. Because for one day, that same Jesus is going to ship out on a cloud. And the dead in Christ, my Bible tells me that they are going to get up first. And we that are still alive and we believe in him, praise God, we are going to get caught up to meet them in the air. I told you it's going to be like a large family reunion. And we are to proclaim his death until he comes. Don't you be ashamed to take your communion. Don't you be ashamed to let God know that you know the reason why he died. That you know the reason how he died. But more importantly, you're going to continue to remember that thing. I don't care how gruesome it was. I don't care how they beat him all night long. I don't care how they took a crown of thorns and placed them upon his head. I don't care how they spit in his face. I don't care how they took his beard and they pulled it out. How gruesome it is. We ought to remember. And proclaim his death till he comes. Folks, brothers and sisters, Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. And he's coming back after his church. Amen. Somebody say, how do I join that church? Not by coming in somebody's building like this.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
Greetings, brothers and sisters in Christ. Welcome to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville. Dr. Carl Armstead, Sr., pastor. Join our pastor as he preaches and teaches the Word of God.
John's Gospel, chapter number 2. This has to deal with the Passover, and since the Lord's Supper came out of the Passover, I thought it was appropriate, and not only that, this incident that happens, talking about the cleansing of the temple, there are a lot of interpretations about what the meaning of it is. And it even came up in our Congress. And so the Lord sort of directed me to sort of deal with this a little bit this morning. John chapter number 2, and I'm going to read a few verses here because I won't be long. Amen.
Amen.
Everybody got to say amen. Amen. Anybody still looking, tell me to hold up. All right, we're going to wait on it. Amen. All right. Okay. All right. We ready?
Amen.
All right. Beginning at verse 13, and we read, "Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them out of the temple with the sheep and oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, 'Take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise.'" We just dropped down to verse 18. "So the Jews answered and said to him, 'What sign do you show us since you do these things?' Jesus answered and said to them, 'Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up.' Then," the Jews said, "it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Verse 22 says, "Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said." Amen. I don't know what's wrong. My mic is cutting in and out. Amen. We got a shortage in or something? Amen. All right. Well, this morning I just want to talk from the subject cleansing the temple. That's my subject. Christ cleansing the temple. Let me begin by saying that the Christ that we worship and serve during this decade is the same Christ who was worshipped during the decades of the first century era. For the Bible says in Hebrews 13 and 8 that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, he's the same in his unique person, and he's the same in his redemptive purpose and in his abiding presence. He's the same in his ability and desire to meet the deepest needs of people and in his compassion for a lost world. And today I need to tell us that Christ continues to speak to those who have ears to hear. He continues to reveal himself to those who have eyes that are willing to see. He continues to be the bread of life to those who have an appetite for the things of the Spirit. And so according to John, Jesus launched the beginning of his public ministry by purging and purifying the temple. Now, this bold action reveal Christ to be something other than a meek and mild do-gooder, because his action was bold, brave, and aggressive. His action was assertive, daring, radical, and revolutionary, because his cleansing of a temple was a bold attack on the religious and the political establishment of that day. His cleansing of the temple was a radical call for reevaluation of the Pharisees' total approach to religion and life. My brothers and sisters, Jesus' cleansing of the temple is what created the hostility that was to rise up and grow until, amen, it had engineered his execution by a crucifixion. And Christ continues to reveal himself to us through the record of this significant action at the beginning of his earthly ministry. And so with your prayers, as I told you, I won't be long. There are about three movements in the text that I like to call your attention to, and I'm going to let you alone. Well, the first thing we see, by cleansing the temple, Christ asserted his divine authority. In other words, my brothers and sisters, Christ came into the temple as the Messiah. And his bold action was an assertion of his messianic authority according to the prophecy of Malachi 1 through 3. Christ wanted the offering of the people to be pleasant and acceptable unto the Lord according to that same prophecy in Malachi 3 and 4. But there was no possibility for such under the circumstances that existed in the temple. And so by cleansing the temple and reestablishing worship in his purity, Jesus hoped to be a blessing to the people of his day, because Christ came into the temple as the Son of God. For we note that verse 16, he said, "Do not make my Father's house into a house of merchandise." Now, the word merchandise pictures a trading house filled with wares. Also, this verse John gives a subtle hint of Jesus' divine sonship as well as his messiahship with the recording of this phrase. And so Christ came into the temple as the Lord of the temple. He was revealing himself to be the Lord in the realm of worship. He was and continues to be the Lord in the realm of communication with God, because we learn about God best through his Son, Jesus Christ. And therefore, Mount Olive, he comes today to assist us in our worship. For the Bible says, "For where there are two or three gathered together in my name, I am in the midst." In other words, he's present here this morning to help us to see and to hear and respond to the word of God as we worship him in spirit and in truth. Secondly, while cleansing the temple, Christ expressed his holy anger, because Christ was angry when covetousness and greed in the hearts of people prevented others from coming to God. But how are the merchants and money changers preventing others from coming to God? Well, it's because during the Passover celebration, worshipers came from all over Israel and the Roman Empire. And so the temple area was always crowded during Passover with thousands of out-of-town visitors. Then the religious leaders crowded it even further by allowing money changers and merchants to set up booths in the outer courts of the Gentiles, because many worshipers traveled a long distance and it was inconvenient to bring with them their sacrificial animals. So the merchants provided this service by selling animals for sacrifice. Then the money changers were needed because temple tax was paid annually by every Jewish male 20 years and older. But it had to be paid in Jewish or the Tyrian coinage because of its high and pure silver in those coins. And so the religious leaders of that day rationalized that this practice was a convenience for the worshipers as well as a way to make money for the upkeep of the temple. But the religious leaders didn't seem to care that the court of the Gentiles was so full of merchants that the foreigners found it difficult to worship, and worship was the main purpose for visiting the temple. No wonder Jesus was angry, because not only were the animal dealers and the money changers exploiting the situation for monetary gain, but they made it difficult for the folk to worship the Lord. And that's why Jesus said in his text that they had turned his Father's house into a house of merchandise. But now Matthew records this same thing in Matthew 21:13 by saying, "As it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you made it into a den of thieves." And so Christ was angry when covetousness and greed in the hearts course of people prevented others from coming to God, because the court of the Gentiles was occupied by merchants, crowds, and no doubt the noise of animals and the people buying and selling and exchanging their currency was thus impeding the way of those who would come into the temple to worship. In other words, folk were being cut off and shut off from God. Moreover, Christ was angry when hypocrites